welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. And we're going to continue right on looking at events in the life of Jehoshaphat. And we see, as we look at that 19th chapter, that the prophet Hananiah comes to him, or actually it was Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him, and he said, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord." And so there was a rebuke from the prophet of the Lord regarding his behavior. And even though he was a godly king and he loved the Lord, he had one weakness. He did not possess the wisdom, the discernment, or the courage to refuse King Ahab, who sought affinity with him. Now, that word affinity means adjacent or related by marriage, close relationship, languages. It implies a common origin, family resemblance, a natural liking or sympathy. And in those days, it was very serious to enter into a relationship. And God is a jealous God. He says that if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. He said some very strong words. These are the words of Jesus, that if you loved father, mother, daughter, son more than me, you're not worthy of me. And unless you understand what he's saying, of course, he's not saying to hate your parents or hate your children, but that in terms of the most pervasive and the most important priority or in your life, that should be to please and serve the living God. If you do that, everything else falls into order and falls into balance. And so there were two times in his life that this godly king, Jehoshaphat, found himself in trouble because he was weak in this area. But before we obviously, this was the first time when Jehu came to him to speak the word of the Lord. And another example found in Scripture, and this was with, you know, the godly people of Judah, we look to the life of Samuel. And Samuel was an answer to prayer, a miracle child given to the Lord by his mother Hannah. And it said in verse 22 of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, this is regarding Eli, who was the high priest at that time, who basically discipled Samuel. He was very old, heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. These were his sons who were ministering as priests, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I hear your evil doings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father," because the Lord would slay them. And what do we see a little bit just in the next chapter? The Lord sees what is going on. He was the high priest. He had sons. They were doing things that were wicked. They were being a terrible witness before the people of Israel. They were causing them to sin. And what happens in verse 11, the Lord speaks to the young Samuel, one of the great prophets of Israel, said, "I will do a thing in Israel in which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." And he said, listen to this, verse 13, For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And so, he rebuked them verbally, but he had the power to restrain them, and he didn't. He honored them more than he honored the Lord. And he, as a result, the ark was taken. The Philistines took it. His son was killed in battle. The daughter-in-law names the son as she dies in birth Ichabod, because the glory has departed. And so these are some very important principles we need to learn. I know these are hard things, but if those who will walk in the fear of the Lord will understand his ways, God is just not being mean and unreasonable. He is showing his very character, his very nature. He's a holy God. And how many Christians are weak in this area? Over the years, I've seen how many have refused counsel, or because of what they feel is love, they actually enable children or friends or loved ones to continue on in wickedness and ungodly ways, rather than than loving them, praying for them, but refusing to allow them to live in their lifestyle. If that's in their power to do it. For example, let's look at Scripture. What we call the prodigal son, remember, he demanded his inheritance, which was a terrible thing to do in that day while the father was still alive. And did the father beg him and say, "Oh, son, please, no, don't do this"? He let him go. And it wasn't until, quote, he came to himself. Beloved, if we will allow our friends, our loved ones, those who we have a burden for, to release them into God's hands, to do whatever God would speak to our heart, but not to join affinity with them, if you will, not to say, "Well, that's okay, I love them and they're, I'm just, you give them money and they spend it on drugs," whatever. The point is, that's not pleasing to God. And so, and why is this so important? I want you to hear this, because Jehoshaphat, he had this rebuke from the Lord, and then it's in chapter 20, and I'm going to go very quickly. Basically, the children of Moab and Ammon came against him, and there were a huge, great multitude. And remember, Jehoshaphat was a godly king, and we all love this story. What happens here? He prays a magnificent prayer. "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel?" And he says, "Behold, the children of Ammon and Moab," I'm going very quickly, of course, "how they've cast us out of our possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. We have no might against this great company." And all of Israel was, or Judah was, gathered together, and there was prophecy. And he says in verse 17, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Go out against them." What did he do? We all love this. He sent the worshipers, the Levites, the Kohathites, to praise the Lord God with a loud voice on high. And he says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." What an amazing event. How incredible was this? He consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord. And when they did that, it says, "The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and against Mount Seir, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten. Everyone helped to destroy another, and none escaped." It was an amazing victory. And not only that, verse 25, they took a tremendous amount of spoil, both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, and basically they came back to Jerusalem rejoicing. The Lord had made them, quote, to rejoice over their enemies. The fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So verse 20, it says, "The realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest round about." Remember, he was a godly king. Verse 32, "He walked in the way of Asa, his father, departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord." But he didn't learn his lesson the first time. Listen to this, verse 35, "And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, who did wickedly. He did the same thing again. He joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And then God sends another prophet against to prophesy against Jehoshaphat, verse 37, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. The ships were broken, and they were not able to go to Tarshish. And then it said, Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. So he did this twice. And we see that in spite of his godly life, there were consequences to what he did. And we don't see it until further on in the book of 2 Chronicles. It says he slept with his fathers. Listen to this, beloved. That's why it's so important to do the right thing at all times before the Lord. And it said, Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of these were his brothers. They are named. They were sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver. But to Jehoram, he gave him the kingdom because he was the firstborn. Listen to what his son, the firstborn of godly King Jehoshaphat, does. When he was risen up in the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself. He slew all his brethren with the sword, also diverse princes of Israel. And not only that, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So, beloved, there were long-term consequences to what Jehoshaphat did, because he saw no problem with aligning himself with Ahab for whatever reason. His son, Jehoram, marries the daughter of Ahab and turns back all the good that had been done during the time of Asa, his father, during the time of the reign of Jehoshaphat. We see that Judah goes back into the ways of worshiping the false gods, and as a result, that good testimony was lost. So, beloved, there are consequences when we will not have discernment, walk in the ways of God. And even though he was a godly king, look at his legacy through his son. That because he was willing to form this alliance, apparently his son thought it was all right too, with desperate consequences. So, beloved, we're going to, with the Lord's help, wrap this up on tomorrow's broadcast, and I hope you can join me. And the announcer is going to give our contact information. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.